When Nigeria hanged Ken Sarawiwa in 1995, it made him a martyr. At the time, he was one of the country's best-known writers. He'd been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for taking on the country's brutal regime over its plundering of the oil-rich land of his ethnic Ogoni people. Ken Sarawiwa's son has written a memoir about being the child of a martyr. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with Ken Wiwa Jr., author of In the Shadow of a Saint.
Ken Wiwa came into this world bearing the weight of all his father's expectations. And yet to realize those hopes, Ken Sarawiwa Sr. shipped his firstborn, known as Junior, off to a British boarding school where the eldest son emerged as a very different person from his father.
He was very much a man of Africa, and everything was centered around his political struggle, whereas I had largely grown up abroad in England. And my sense of home was much more ambivalent. So there was this distance between us, you know, in the misunderstandings. He didn't understand that I just wanted to try and live a life of my own and not always be known as Ken Sarawiwa's son. And yet he was very keen that I come back home and carry on his struggle.
The struggle began for Ken Sarawiwa Sr. as a purely literary interest in the folktales and the culture of his people, the Ogoni. But that led him to champion the Ogoni politically. Decades of oil drilling, which poured millions into the coffers of Nigeria's regimes and big oil companies, had transformed the Ogoni land into an ecological disaster. Oily water, acid rain, and flares rippling across the horizon. Writing such lines as, "The flames of Shell are the flames of hell," got Ken Sarawiwa Sr. thrown into jail, until finally he was accused of instigating a deadly mob. Here a letter he wrote from prison read by his son.
A year has gone by since I was rudely roused from my bed and clamped into detention. 65 days in chains, weeks of starvation, months of mental torture, and recently the rides in the steaming, airless Black Mariah to appear before a kangaroo court, dubbed a special military tribunal, where the proceedings leave no doubt that the judgment has been written in advance. The men who ordain and supervise this show of shame are frightened by the word, the power of ideas, the power of the pen. Nor do they have a sense of history, and that is their funeral.
The story is that the hangman botched Ken Sarawiwa's death four times, but succeeded on the fifth try. Ken Wiwa Jr. had failed in his very public attempt to get the world's leaders to act forcefully to save his father's life.
After my father was hanged, I kind of retreated from the public stage because I wanted to come to terms with my father's death. But in doing that, I felt I was playing into the hands of his killers, because when my father and the others were executed, their bodies were covered in, doused in acid, and they were buried in unmarked graves. And it almost sensed they wanted to obliterate him from memory. And by not standing up for him, not carrying on the cause, I felt like that I was playing into their hands. And beyond that, there were also all these allegations, and suddenly all these critics felt brave enough to start telling lies about my father.
He was sainted on the one hand, and then at a certain point, you know, critics, but also the press, in a sense, turned on him.
There was a backlash against the impossibly heroic figure that he'd been described in the lead-up to an immediate aftermath of his death. There were all kinds of things saying he was a habitual liar, and Shell was saying that actually he wasn't executed because he stood up for human rights of his people, but that he was executed because he had organized the murder of his clansmen. And for people who didn't really know the intricacies of the story, there was a whole new confusing set of evidence that was suddenly appeared in the press. And so, you know, people weren't really sure which side they stood with Ken Sarawiwa or how to judge this man. So, in a sense, you know, I knew that one day I would have to stand up to put the record straight about my father. Yes, he was deeply flawed. He was also a human being. Actually, the paradox of people like my father and Nelson Mandela and other martyrs is that they have this reputation as people who refuse to compromise. But I wanted to show that actually they had compromised and sacrificed the thing that was closest to them, i.e. their families.
Ken Wiwa writes that when his beloved younger brother died suddenly, his father spent the funeral preoccupied with politics, and Ken Wiwa's mother was pained by his famous father's constant womanizing. Even as his father was beatified, Ken Wiwa's anger and resentment ran deep. To deal with it, he decided to immerse himself in his father's letters and writings.
I just relived his life, and I went back and relived our relationship, and I came to a better understanding of him. And that was when I decided to sort of stop fighting my father. Even though he'd been dead 2 years, I was still fighting him, but I decided to call a truce. And then that was a time when I decided to read an eyewitness account of his execution. And I'd had this letter for about a year, and I couldn't bring myself to read it. And when I read it, I just felt a very strange sort of release. You know, I just felt at peace with myself and with him. And ever since then, I've never really felt anything but pride about my father.
You were able to find out what he was like at the very end, though, by this account, by an eyewitness.
Yeah. Well, it was a mixture of sort of, you know, it was by the end, I felt I knew my father so well that I used the eyewitness account of his execution and also the letters that he had written me from detention to reconstruct the last hour of his life. And I always imagined that my father probably had in his mind the things he was going to say, what his last words were going to be. You know, he wanted to leave the world with some words that would haunt his oppressors and inspire future generations. But the five attempts to execute him had forced him to extemporize. So in the end, his last words, for me, I think, came from the heart rather than from his head.
And they were?
They were delivered in our language, but the translation is, "Lord, take my soul. The struggle continues." And those are the words which, you know, most Ogonis now have committed to heart, and they feel that this is where Kensaru ends and they begin.
And Ken Wiwa found the answer to his own question, where his father ended and the son began. The book is In the Shadow of a Saint. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News, Washington.